have your Bibles tonight, let's begin, if you would please, with 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 12. And begin, also find, if you would, Romans chapter 14, verse number 15. We have been going through and continuous a series on Wednesday night entitled, What Does the Bible Say About That? And it's a topical series. Have not done much topical preaching in many topical series, but I found permission from the Lord to do this one. I trust that the information that you're getting on Wednesday night and the messages that you're writing notes and making notes so that you can have and further your own Bible study. Also, that will give you helps as you communicate with people. And I don't know about you, but I have found that sometimes I'll hear something in church or hear something in a Bible study or hear something in some way, and then God will open a door and give me an opportunity to use what I have heard. I love it when he does that, and it just shows that he's prepared me to be a blessing. And so tonight I want to speak on the subject of charity. Charity. What does the Bible say about charity? Now, the Bible does say a lot about this subject, and probably more than what you realized. I almost think that everybody in the room kind of thinks that we are charitable people. We have an understanding of what it means to have charity as an action, to be charitable in our giving, in our spirit, in our hospitality. But this is a subject that is very important in a church and with church people. Matter of fact, you find it all throughout the New Testament. It's mentioned, the word charity is mentioned 29 times. The first time it is mentioned is in the book of Romans, which we'll get to in just a second. But I want you to see that in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 12, as the Apostle Paul is speaking to the young preacher boy, and he's encouraging him in his youth, he says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, and in what, class? In charity." There's a bunch of other things listed in spirit and in faith and in purity. Of course, this is instruction to the man of God and to the preacher there, but I believe this will also be applicable to the church, especially as we are of the believers, that you and I that know the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to be an example of charity. We're to be an example of charity in the church, but we're also to be an example of charity outside the church. But Pastor, I do give to the Red Cross. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? Nothing wrong with giving to the Red Cross. But Pastor, I do, you know, do some of these things. The Bible says this, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have," finish it, "love one for another." And so charity, which I'll show you in a minute, is the word love, is something that you and I are to be an example of. And the church is to be an example of this. Find, if you would, in Romans chapter 14, look, if you would, please, at verse number 15. This passage of Scripture in this verse comes at a very touchy time in the church, and from very touchy instruction. If you look at verse number 10, the Apostle Paul here is dealing with judging one another. And he says, "Why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to who? To God. Now, verse number 13, he begins to make application off of that point, that you and I are going to have to give an account of ourselves, stop judging others, and start looking at it ourselves. Let us not, therefore, judge one another anymore. Boy, I'll tell you what, we sure would have a lot of peace within the family of God if we would obey that statement. But judge this, rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now, a stumbling block was a tripping hazard. It was something that was designed to cause a fall. And so what the Apostle Paul here is doing is he's after the submissiveness and the humility of God's child. And he's saying that you do have a responsibility to your brother. By the way, I have a responsibility to you and you have a responsibility to me. Amen? All right. Now that responsibility is not for you to judge me or me to judge you. But that responsibility is to make sure that nothing in my life causes you to stumble in your walk with the Lord. Well, Pastor, it's not my fault how they interpret, and it's not my fault what they do. Let me tell you something. If you're confronted with your behavior as its influence to a weaker brother, and you dig your heels in the ground and say, I'm going to flat do it no matter what they think or how it affects them, that's a sin against God. That's you being a stumbling block. Okay? So in a lot of the cases, it dealt with eating and drinking. They were buying meat from the temple, and this meat had been offered to idols, and some people had a problem with this, and some people didn't. And Paul said, man, if eating that meat offends my brother, I'm just not going to eat that meat. So you do, and I do, as a believer, have a responsibility to make sure that my behavior is not a stumbling block. Now I do believe that stumbling block is more of than just an accident. It's the purpose decision that I make in my mind that says, I don't care about how that affects my brother. I'm going to do what I want to do. Anytime I do what I want to do, I do wrong. Most of it. Look, if you would, at verse number 14. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. He's talking about a person's conscience. So if in their conscience they seem something to be sinful, then you need to regard that. There may not be anything for that, but with them it is. You need to regard it in your relationship. Now here's where I'm going, verse number 15. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not, what's that word, class? Charitably. He goes on to say, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. Now the Apostle Paul's got some bickering going on here at the Church of Rome. He's got some weaker brethren who are suffering in this meat that's been offered, in this meat that's causing a problem. And he's got some mature believers that he's questioning them. And he's really truthfully, he's asking them about their motive. He says, Now brother, you love the Lord, right? Yes, sir. Now, brother, if you love the Lord, then you love God's people. Yes, sir. Now, brother, don't you think that within the body of believers that you should walk charitably? You should walk lovingly? You should walk with a disposition of giving and submission? Because if you walk contrary to charitableness, the effect of that is found in verse 15, right after the word charitably. What is that word? Destroy. Now Paul says, if I don't walk with the spirit of charitableness, then I have the ability to destroy people. Now, we find this in churches, and bless best, we find it in Baptist churches. Okay? People that want to walk the way they want to walk, and they want to do what they want to do. And if somebody has a pricking in their conscience, that's just their difficulty and their problem and so on and so forth. But what you need to understand is if that's confronted in you to the point where that's a stumbling block in their life and your behavior, then you as a mature believer must approach that with the spirit of charitableness and not destroying somebody and with humility. And you and I are to be examples of this charity. And so if I'm to be an example of charity, and I am to walk with charity among my fellow believers so that I don't destroy, then I think it behooves us to understand what charity means. If you agree with that, say amen. Okay, so charity is mentioned 29 times. You will find, as I look the word up in the Vine's Expository Dictionary and in the Strong's Dictionary, the word charity really is the word love. It's love. Now, love is the Greek word agape or agapo. This is God's love. This is the same kind of love that is used of God toward his son. And by the way, God loves the Lord Jesus. It's the same kind of love that God appropriated to the human race. This is the same kind of love that we are to convey to our brothers and sisters and the attitude that we are to have to one another. We're talking about, when we talk about agape, we're talking about God's love inside the Christian that works itself out in Christian love. I'll read you what Mr. Vine says about Christian love. Christian love, whether exercised toward the brethren or toward men generally, that would be the unsaved, is not an impulse from the feelings. It does not always run with the natural inclinations, nor does it spend itself only upon those for whom some affinity is discovered. This love, agape love, God's love, Christian love, charity, seeks the welfare of all. It works no ill to anyone. It seeks the opportunity to do good to all men, especially toward them that are of the household of faith. And so when we talk about charity in the Bible, we're talking about God's love, agape love, translated this word 29 times. So, Pastor, why would it not just be called love? Why would it be translated charity? Because the word has two foundations. It has something called attributes, and it has something called action. And by the way, love has action. Okay? And so charity, speaking of God's love, has an attribute about it. Now, if it's God's love, it's going to have godly attributes. Go, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and look, if you would, at verse number 1. And let me show you a couple of attributes about this charity. Then I'm going to talk with you about who is charitable and who is not charitable. And we'll be calling names at that time. Just kidding about that. Okay, find verse number 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And the Bible says, "Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity does what? Edifies." So we're talking about a love that builds up. Not a love, a selfish love that tears others down. True charity has at its as an attribute a love that edifies or that builds up. Go, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and look at verses 4 to 13. You will find here all of these attributes that are described by charity. Verse number 4 begins with the word. And I, for sake of time, I'm only going to hit just a couple of them, but you can read verses 4 all the way down to verse number 13, but really you can stop at verse number 8, and you will find it says about charity. Charity suffereth long. It's patient. It's kind. It does not envy. It does not vaunt itself. It's not puffed up. It doth not behave itself unseemly. It seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. It thinketh no evil. It rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the what class? Truth. This kind of love or charity beareth all things, has a forbearance about it. It believeth all things. It hopeth all things. It endureth all things. And charity never does what? Never fails. Okay? So this is a beautiful description of what this word charity is. And by the way, these qualities need to be true about your life. Okay? If you call yourself a Christian, if you tell me that Christ lives inside of you, and you tell me that you love God, the Bible says if you love God, you'll love your brother. If you hate your brother, you cannot say that you love God. So if you're to be an example and you are to walk in charity, then you need to have some patience about yourself. You need to have some humility. You need to watch how you behave yourself. You don't need to be selfish. You better not be short-tempered. Short-temperedness is sinfulness. And it's ugly. And hallelujah, God's not short-tempered, or we'd be in hell. So many people tell me they love God and they got a fuse like that. And you go from calm to rage in a nanosecond. A person who goes from calm to rage in a nanosecond is a person who's not right with God. He says it thinketh no evil. That means you give people the benefit of the doubt. You're beneficial. You're beneficent in your thought process. That means that you do not rejoice in iniquity, but you have a desire and a hunger and an understanding of righteousness. You rejoice in the truth. Charitable people love the truth. Charitable people can bear things. Charitable people have a believingness about them. These are attributes of charity. Go to 1 Peter chapter number 4. These are things you are to be an example of. This is how you are to walk inside this body of believers. But this is also how you're to walk as a Christian outside. 1 Peter chapter 4. Want you to see verses 8, B, and 9. An attribute of charity is that, right there in the middle of that verse, it says, for charity shall cover the multitude of what? Sins. It also says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. So an attribute of charity is that it covers sin. It's not where it covers sin to the negative. It just means that it doesn't expose people. It doesn't crush people. It has a loving affection for folks. It has a way to deal with their wrongs or with their sins and in a brotherly love manner. And so when we're talking about being an example of this, we're talking about the responsibility to walk charitably, and we need to know what the word looks like. It's a positive love, a building love. It's a love that has tremendous reflection of Christ in 1 Corinthians 13. It covers a multitude of sins. Now, it's not just attributive, it's also an action word. Go to Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation chapter 2, look if you would please at verse number 19. This is the Lord Jesus here speaking to the church at Thyatira in verse number 18. He says, unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, his feet are like fine brass. Verse 19, I know thy what class? Works. And what's the word? Charity. Service. Faith. Patience. In thy works, and the last to be more than the first. And so even the Lord Jesus says that there is an action or a working to charity. And I would submit to you from the Bible that the number one action of charity is giving. Hence how the word has morphed. We blank to charities. Fill in the blank. We give to charities. If you give something, you're considered charitable. We receive charitable donations. All right? Now, the world has its understanding of that word, but the Christian ought to have the biblical understanding of that word. And the biblical understanding of that word is way deeper than the Red Cross little thing where they ring the bell. The understanding of that word reaches into the very nature of God. And the nature of God should be in me as I've been born again, and it should be in you. Therefore, out of the working of the Holy Spirit comes forth charitableness. It's an action word. Go, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Look at verse number 1. I know there's a lot of verses here, but I want you to see there's a command here that we are to do. Not only are we to walk charitable, but in chapter 14, verse number 1, we are told that we are to follow after charity. This carries with it the idea of ambition. This carries with it the idea of design. This means that charity is a motive that gives me ambition to go forward. He says, now, I desire spiritual gifts, but he goes on later and talks about that you can have all the spiritual gifts in the world. Look up there at the end of chapter 13. He says, now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And he wants you to follow after that. 1 Peter chapter 4, I'll read that to you if you get there before me. Peter gives us this instruction in 1 Peter 4:8, that I think is powerful instruction. He says, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. And so this is a command, this is an action that we are to have as we have fervent charity among ourselves. By the way, I do believe we have charity in our church. But there should always be growing fervent charity. Fervent love for God's people. Fervent building up of God's people. A fervent understanding of the heart of God. Have you ever read 1 John? Go to chapter 4 of 1 John. If this doesn't get your attention about your responsibility as a believer with 1 John chapter 4 when it comes to charity, I don't necessarily know what will. Look, if you could here, please, at verse number 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now that love there is agape love. So the evidence that you've been saved is that you know you love, you have the love of God. Look at verse number 8. He that loveth not knoweth not who? God. Pretty powerful statement. For God is, what's the word? Same word translated, charity. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son. Verse number 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So I want to ask you a question. I want you to think about an answer in your own heart. Are you a charitable person? Are you a charitable person. Well, Pastor, I think I'm a charitable person. Let me give you a rule to measure it by. Go to 1 Timothy, if you would, please. Chapter number 1. 1 Timothy, chapter number 1. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 4. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Verse number 5. Now the end of the commandment is, what's that word? Charity out of a pure heart. Charity out of a pure heart. Now, more than your deeds, God looks at your motive. Do you understand that when you and I stand before the judgment seat of Christ and our works pass through that fire, what determines wood, hay, and stubble or precious stone, what determines whether or not I am rewarded is not the work itself. The fire will try the work, Paul said, to see what sort, S-O-R-T, it is. Basically, what Paul is teaching us there is the motive that that charitable work was done will be known and is known by God. So the end of the commandment, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul, to love your neighbors yourself, to love one another as God is love. The end of that commandment is charity out of a pure heart. So the person who is charitable is not necessarily the person that gives to the poor. And I can give you all these references that tell us that we're supposed to give to the poor. It's not necessarily the person that gives as an action. The charitable person is the person that gives with the proper motive. Well, Pastor, what is a proper motive in my giving? Well, everything that we do, we ought to do to the glory of who? The glory of God. And so when I'm looking at whether or not I am charitable, then I'm looking at the point and figuring out what is my motive for why I express what I determine to be love. Now stay with me, class. Don't lose me. God's determination of my love and my determination of my love, or God's definition of my love and my definition of my love, sometimes can be opposite. God's definition of love is selfless, sacrificial humbleness to the welfare of somebody else. For God so loved the world that he gave. Okay. A lot of times, my understanding of love is some kind of affection, some kind of benevolent or beneficency to that. But I'm not sure that my heart reaches the depth of the heart of God in purity as I love others. Then, motive. Did I give wanting something in return? Well, that's not charitable. Did I give just so I could look good in front of somebody? Well, that's not charitable. Did I give just to get them away from me? That's truthful. But I'm not sure that's charitable. See, when Paul said to those people, your behavior is destroying others. So he's checking them in their will. He's checking them in their pride. He's checking them in their gut. What are you going to do? Are you going to walk charitably and humble yourself? Or are you going to destroy them? See, we kind of always want to think that we're charitable because, but God, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on our heart. And I'm not necessarily sure that we have given charity the due attention in our lives to be an example of it and to walk in it. Well, who's not charitable? Well, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. I got all kinds of verses on that, but I'll just read this passage for you. 2 Peter chapter number 1. And I guess I'll close there. I'll send you home with some homework. 5. And besides this, that's having the divine nature of God, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness what?
Charity.
So you are to add this to your life. You are to add this because of the divine nature that is in you. Now watch verse number 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that, what's this word?
Lacketh
these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his what?
Old sins.
So Peter is saying, listen, the person who is not charitable is the person who has forgotten what God has done for him or them. This is the person that's forgotten that he's been purged from his old sins, and he's not adding to his life in growth in these areas. Now he may be doing some benevolence kind of work, but you got to go back to where you stand out of a pure heart. Now, I got news for, I'll just speak this to myself and you make your own application. I have found that God is way more charitable than I am. And I have found that I kind of have levels the way I deal with people. Do you have levels of the way you deal with people? Some people I'll hug and kiss the kiss of charity. And some people, I just let them go. I notice that some people I get close to when I talk to, and some people I kind of stay. Like, I just kind of notice that it's within Tom's nature to treat people differently. But I'm so glad that the nature of God respects no person. And as God wants to do a work of charity through me, he's got to do that work in me. Then he does that work through me. And the way that God wants me to love people, the way that God wants me to minister to people, the way that God wants me to walk charitable with people is far deeper than Tom's nature. And so charity is a spiritual work that God must do in our lives. Do you see that? If so, say amen. Okay. So then that has to be developed in your life. How are you developing charity? Well, you want me to give more money and give to more people? Nope. I want you to get alone with God and say, God, would you bring to me the heart of charity that you have? And God, as I begin to see people, let me see them the way you see them. And God, as I begin to deal with people, don't let me deal with people in my old heart. Let me deal with people in a pure heart. And then as I begin to respond out of that love, you're going to find that you're going to be giving and giving properly motivated. And what God will do is he'll take that properly motivated charity and he'll begin to edify people. He'll begin to bless people. He'll begin to nurture people. And he'll take you and begin to use you in ways you never dreamed. God's looking for people to love people with charity. I say let's be those people. Amen? So our responsibility now is to be an example of this. And our responsibility is to walk in charity with each other. So the next time you're faced with a choice with somebody in this room, and your action can either destroy them or not, you need to remember, and I need to remember, that I have a responsibility to walk charitably within this building and within our fellowship and within believers. And that's God's responsibility to me and my behavior. And people will notice it, and God will use it, and it will bless you in your life. I only preached half my message, but next week I want to preach on a different subject, so we'll see who wins, me or God. I'll let you know next week. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed.